Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Man, I love this church. I love this church. I tell you, like, last Sunday was wonderful. It's wonderful. I probably, which is probably similar to your experiences at church, I felt God last week, and I felt your warm welcome, so thank you. On behalf of my family, thank you for welcoming us to this church in a way that the city of Chicago did not. But I'll tell more about that later at some other point. Now, listen, I'm going to try to learn all of your names. I'm going to try, okay? I'd really like to. And so if we're having a conversation and you see me pull out my phone, I'm not checking Instagram. I am just writing notes down. And also, if you hear me ask you a question again, my wife will tell you that I'm deaf, basically deaf, okay? So for some reason, I've been doing music in churches for 20 years, and now I'm in this spot, and I lost my hearing or something. So if you see me writing down some notes, it's because either I'm trying to remember or I'm actually trying to hear what you have to say to me. But thank you all for your kind welcome. And if you're new here, I especially want to welcome you. Welcome to the church. I'm new too. My name is Ted Kim. I am the new senior associate pastor. I am here because we're trying to figure out whether or not I will be moving into this position of possibly replacing Steve. And in fact, that's kind of why we've been praying and fasting, because we are a church that is a part of a bunch of other churches that is in a period of fasting right now. The family of Vineyard churches that we belong to has been participating in this nationwide fast from food or internet or anything that might distract us or dull us from our connection with God. We're in this fast right now. And as a church, we're fasting. As you heard in the announcements, there's this booklet. It's not too late to join the fast if you want to join the fast. There is a booklet that you can grab from the Welcome Center that will detail what we're fasting, all about our fast, as well as what we're praying into this season. And also, I just have to say, if you go out the doorway, not right now, but if you go out the doorway, you'll see this little wall with these cards of everything that everyone is fasting for. Many of you have joined in this fast, and I just want to commend you for doing it. It's incredible. I think over 500 people are joining in the fast. And if you're not joining with us in the fast, don't feel bad at all, okay? I mean, this is just something that people have decided to do without coercion. They've been invited into it. And so if you want to be encouraged, though, I just invite you to go and look at that wall, and you can see all these little cards and see what people are fasting from, and it will probably encourage you and lift your hearts, because people really here want to seek God. All right, so I'm fasting too. Just want to let you know, as a matter of transparency, that I'm fasting from Starbucks, which is a big deal for me, because as Diet Dr. Pepper is to our senior pastor Steve Nicholson, Starbucks is to me. I drink multiples of ice cream teas a day. And so I have not been drinking those. I'm also fasting from dessert. And I'm fasting from all forms of bread. Okay, so I'm fasting from dessert. I'm fasting from all forms of bread. And so the hope is that anytime you are feeling hungry or you're feeling like maybe a desire to eat something different or to look at something, or like Dave Sendell talked about, you have a desire to go down the YouTube hole, which is very, very deep, by the way, that you'll turn to God and you'll pray, as I have done sometimes and as I have not done sometimes. Yesterday, I was really craving dessert, so I crammed a bunch of dried cranberries into my mouth. I was thinking, well, this is not really dessert, is it? I mean, the amount I ate, as well as the amount of sugar I consumed, it probably was dessert, but that's okay, because there's grace for us, right? We can always, always start again. So I just want to reiterate why we fast, because we've had a few messages on fasting. If you haven't listened to them, I encourage you to go and listen to them online. You can listen to the podcast. You can go on Facebook and look at the feed. Steve, Renee, and Dave have talked about what this fast is about, why we fast, and I just want to highlight one of the reasons why we fast that Steve talked about the first message, May 19th. One of the reasons why we fast is to tune our listening ears to God. One of the reasons why we fast is we want to hear what God wants to say to us, right? How many of you know that this church is, the basic core of this church is listening? How many of you know that? Listening is at the core of this church. We fast to listen. The prayer, in fact, the prayer for today in the booklet is about listening. So if you can throw that up on the screen. So Brian, during worship, he talked about the first part of it, but I just want to read the second part. Take time to, everybody say it with me, listen for God's leading and ask what next steps you should pursue. Is there anything in your life you need to deprioritize to make some space for something new that God is doing? Any place where God is calling you to go all in. Listening is at the core of this church. For those of you who are on the email correspondence, how many of you subscribe to emails from the church, Evanston Vineyard? Anybody? Anybody? Well, I just encourage you, if you haven't, to maybe subscribe. You'll get all sorts of information about what's happening here at the church, as well as some information about what this church is all about. So I got on that list recently, probably because Dave put me on the list, and I really love getting the emails, especially the first one that I got. And I want to read it. It's the first one that I got, which is taken kind of from a transcript of Renee Cunningham's message that she gave during the 40th anniversary celebration of this church. And I want to read it to you. Well, I think we have it here. We can throw it up on the screen as well. A lot of people ask how things got started around here. How the church started. How we came to embrace women in full leadership. How the food pantry began. Or how did a small group of mostly white young people become a diverse church of 50-plus languages? The answer is, God said it was going to happen, and then he did it. God said he was going to start a church among us, and he did it. God said he wanted all people to be able to participate in his kingdom work, and he did it. God said he was going to use this church to love the poor, to feed the hungry, and he did it. God said there was not going to be a majority culture among us, and he did it. We've learned many lessons in the 40-plus years God has been moving at the Evanston Vineyard, and we are a church that listens for the voice of God. We believe that God speaks to us, and we are designed to hear him. So we are a church that listens. In fact, we are an interrupted church. God has been steering us in his direction for 40 years, and we know that because we've been listening for 40 years. He has interrupted us to bring vision and wisdom to our church. Everyone listens around here, little kids to seasoned saints, because he speaks. We are a church that listens for the voice of God. Would you all say that with me? Can we all say that together? We are a church that listens for the voice of God. Just so you know, I'm new around here, and one of the things that I like to do is I like to all have us say things together. Because I believe, actually, that something happens when we say things together, when we vocalize them, when we use our speaking apparatus, when we use our heart, we use our lungs to say things together. It bonds us together uniquely. So can we say it one more time? We are a church that listens for the voice of God. So today, as you probably are aware, or maybe if you're new, you're kind of wondering who I am. Well, I've been hired here because we're looking at this process of maybe Steve stepping down and me like maybe taking his place. So there's this transition that is imminent. And so Steve has asked me to talk about my vision for the church. Well, here it is. We are a church that listens for the voice of God. I want us to continue to be that. Right? As Vineyard Christian Church of Evanston has listened, as Steve and Bill have listened, as the key leadership in this church have listened, as you all have listened, I'm going to listen too. Amen. Listening is at the core of my vision. So here's more participation. Are you ready? All right. Just like Abraham listened and was given a vision for many nations that would populate the earth, just like Abraham listened. Everybody say it with me. I'm going to listen. Sorry. We'll just do the I'm going to listen part. I realize, there we go. realize that wasn't that clear. Let's try it again. Just like Abraham listened and was given a vision for many nations that would populate the earth, just like Abraham listened, everybody, I'm going to listen. Just like Jacob, who wrestled with God and listened as he was given a vision to establish through his line God's very own people, just like Jacob listened, I'm going to listen. Just like Joseph, who listened and was given a vision to save Egypt and God's people through 7 years of famine. Just like Joseph listened, who's going to listen? I'm going to listen. Just like Moses, who listened to God speak to him through a burning bush and was given a vision to set God's people free from slavery in Egypt. Just like Moses listened, I'm going to listen. Just like David, who listened and was given a vision for his son. Just like David listened, everybody, I'm going to listen. Just like Jesus, who listened nightly in hours of prayer for vision for the next days in his ministry. Just like Jesus listened, oh, you better believe, I'm going to listen. Just like Peter, who listened and was given a vision that the good news, the gospel, about the crucified and risen Christ would be for everybody and not just for the Jews. Just like Peter listened, I'm going to listen. And just like Paul, who was then Saul, who had to listen on the road to Damascus and was given a vision to become that missionary that Peter was talking about, just like Paul listened, I'm going to listen. So who's going to listen? Yeah, let's say that again. Sounds good. I'm going to listen. We're going to listen for the voice of God. If you ask me what my vision is to listen to the voice of God. So why do we listen? Why do we listen? Well, we listen because our lives are not our own. We listen because our lives are not our own. If Abraham had held on to his life and made his own plan supreme, he would not have ventured into the promised land. If Moses had held on to his life and had refused his assignment because he did not speak well enough, well, he would not have ended up saving the people of Israel, would he have? If Jesus had held on to his life on earth, boy, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble, wouldn't we? Our lives, my life is not my own. Your life is not your own either. We belong to somebody else, and his name is Jesus. Our lives belong to Jesus. And you know why this is good news? The reason why this is good news, part of the reason why this is good news is because that means that the person who is responsible for your thriving and for your flourishing and for your happiness is not you. It's Jesus. So all we need to do is we just need to listen to be invited into the life God intends for us, which is our highest good and which will advance the kingdom of God. Our lives are not our own, and that is very, very, very good news. How many of you have tried to be the own architect of your own happiness? It doesn't work so well, does it? It's much better when we listen. We also listen because this church is not our own. It belongs to Jesus. This church doesn't belong to Steve. It doesn't belong to Bill. It belongs to God. So in some ways, this transition, it's not a transfer of ownership. Steve isn't saying, Bill isn't saying, I own this church and I'm going to give you the keys to the church and now it's yours. No, it's not. It's always Jesus. This church has always belonged to Jesus. And if anything, this transition is just a transfer of stewardship. It's just a transfer of listening. It's just a transfer of the job of being obedient and hearing God. It's not a transfer of ownership. This isn't a car. I mean, this isn't like, hey, Craigslist. You know, I didn't like look for a transition and go, I'm going to look on churches.craigslist.org and look for a church that I could own. No, no, no. This church belongs to Jesus and he is the one in charge. That's why we listen. My vision is to listen to God and to hear his direction for the church. That's what my vision is. And I do believe that vision is like a conversation. So, I mean, you're probably wondering, is there more to that vision than listening? Well, there is, but I want to have conversations with key leaders, with God. I mean, I believe that the vision conversation is something that's much, much bigger. So I promise that we'll share something more at some point, but I want to have those conversations first, okay? What I can do today, though, is I can share with you what God has been telling me. I can share with you that listening to God has changed my life. I can share with you the things that he has spoken to me and is speaking to me that just may inform where we're headed. Okay, are we all okay with that? I'll just share with you a few things that God is speaking to me. Okay, five ways that God is speaking to me or God has spoken to me that may just inform the direction of our church. All right, number one, the vineyard is home. When I first came here in the mid-90s, that was a long, long time ago, and I had hair back then, but when I came here in the mid-90s, I walked through Evanston Township High School, and I felt like I heard the voice of God. And it wasn't like audible, but it rang in my head like church bells. Has anybody had that experience before? God speaks to you, and it rings in your head. It just rings, rattles all around inside you. Well, there are three words that God said to me. He said to me that I was home. You are home. The vineyard has been my home and will continue to be my home, and I suspect that's probably true for you too. You came in here and in a number of ways experienced home, right? So for those of you, I mean, we've been like saying this over and over again, but I just want to say it again. We are a part of a vineyard family of churches. I believe that that's home too. The Vineyard is a global movement, churches all over the world. There's probably 500 or so Vineyard churches here in America. And we're bound together by relationship, also bound together by our theology, bound together by our priority on the experience of God, the presence of God in worship, like we had today, and our unique way of experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we're just bound together by all those things, which I'm radically committed to, okay? For decades, this church has been a vital outpost in Chicago of the Vineyard and its theology, and I want you to know I do not see that changing. We are Vineyard. We are Vineyard. Number two, one of the other ways that I believe that God has been speaking to me, I was given two verses by this very prophetic lady who prays for me often. I'm not talking about my mother. I'm talking about another lady. But she prays for me often. I'm convinced it's about this transition. And I think it's a prophetic word for the church, all right? Deuteronomy 11, verses 11 through 12, two verses from the NIV. The land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. It is a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. This church is a church that drinks rain from heaven. This church is a church that the Lord cares for, whose eyes are on it continually. I believe that that's this church, that it's a church of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. And you've probably experienced some of that, haven't you? That's probably why you're here. Maybe you've experienced it in a small group. Maybe you've experienced it in kids' ministry. Maybe you've experienced it during a service here. You've experienced rain from heaven. And that's why this place is home. That's why this place is home. And I want you to know, these verses are sort of my lens when I look at the church. I just want you to know that. Because I think it's easy to think, the new guy comes in, and all of a sudden, lots of big changes are going to happen. I just want you to know, I don't know if that's going to happen. I mean, my lens is this church is a church that drinks rain from heaven. And so what I want to do is I just want to continue what Steve and Bill have been doing and look for the rain. How about you? We're going to look for the rain as we listen. Yeah, because the rain happens. All right, third way that I believe that God has been speaking to me and has spoken to me is this. I believe that God has spoken to me that we need to raise up leaders, especially women leaders. Raise up leaders, especially women leaders. So one of the ways that Steve and Bill have left their imprint on me is when I was here in the mid to late 90s, all I saw was the raising up and the empowering and the releasing of new leaders. And so when I left here for my first pastoral job, I just did that. I don't even know why. I was just doing it. Like, well, why are you going to give that away? I don't know. This is what I've seen. I saw it all the time. It just felt weird to always do something by myself. I always felt like I had to give something away, but I didn't really know why. And so the first church that I worked at, they had this leadership consultant on staff. And so for whatever reason, she'd meet with me weekly, and she would talk to me about leadership, and she'd always tell me, keep doing what Steve and Bill taught you to do. And I kept asking her, well, why? Why? And she said, well, no, this is what it's all about. It's all about raising up and empowering leaders. And finally, I just thought, I get what you're saying to me, but I don't understand how to do it. And so we kept meeting, but I was really making no progress. I didn't really know at the time, but I was most interested in me and building my kingdom. That's why I wasn't that interested in raising up and empowering people. I didn't really know that at the time, but I reached this point where I couldn't go on any further, so I thought I would call her and just tell her, listen, hey, you know, I'm so glad that you've met with me. Her name was Mary. Mary, thanks for meeting with me. You've expressed such kindness and you've invested in me, but I just want you to know that we should stop our leadership lessons because I understand what you're saying, but I just can't do it. I've reached my full potential. I wanted to tell her that. I really did. I was 26 at the time. The thought of calling her, though, and telling her I reached my full potential at 26 was so depressing to me. I had the phone. I remember I had the phone in my hand. I just put it back down in the cradle. I thought, am I really going to tell her that? And then I put my head down and I prayed. And immediately when I prayed, I saw something. I believe God was speaking to me. I saw this vision of myself. I was on the top of this platform that was maybe like 40 feet above this orchestra I was conducting. I was conducting the orchestra. And I feel like the Lord was like telling me, this is the way that you think about leadership. And then I saw myself getting plucked from the top of that platform and put down among the members of the orchestra, and I saw myself walking through the rows and encouraging people and clapping them on the back and saying, that's how it really should be done. Amen. So as soon as I had this picture, all of a sudden I had this realization. Man, the work isn't actually to do the work. The work is actually to give it away. The work isn't actually to do all the ministry. The work is actually to equip. The work is actually to release. The work is actually to empower. Paul says this. In Ephesians 4, he, referring to Christ, also gave apostles, prophets, missionaries, as well as pastors and teachers as gifts to his church. Their purpose is what? To prepare God's people to serve and to build up the body of Christ. The purpose of pastoring is to actually build up the body of Christ. It's to give it away. And from that moment on, I got it. I understood what Mary was talking about. I understood what Steve and Bill had given their lives to. They'd given their lives to this verse as the purpose for what we do. We give it away. We give it away. And that's what I'm committed to do. Not just to do the work, but to release it to you and to help you as you live into the thing that God is calling you to, which is your highest good and your deepest joy. One other side note, in this year or so since I was invited to take the job, accepted the job, and then came here, one of the things that I believe God told me was, listen, it was Steve and Bill's generation's task to welcome people of all color into its sanctuaries and meeting places. And I'm committed to that, I want you to know. After all, I'm a person of color. But the other thing that I believe that God said to me is it's going to be your generation's task not only to continue that work, but also to raise up women senior pastors. And so that's something else that I feel like I've been hearing. All right? All right, great. Number four. So everybody with me, here are ways that I believe God has spoken to me, which may or may not, or may, I hope, inform the vision of this church. Right? Number four, a church for the next generation. One of the biggest reasons I'm standing here today is because I started asking questions I couldn't answer from the seat that I was in. The seat that I was in, I was a worship pastor. I was basically Brian at my old church, and I started asking these questions that I couldn't really answer. I started having kids, and then I started asking, what is church going to look like for them? Like, what's church going to look like for my 4.5-year-old son who all his life has known a different kind of life than me? Well, I was born, we didn't have internet. I know that sounds like inconceivable to some of you, but for those of you, the rest of you, you're like, well, yeah, I remember the time when there was no internet. I remember a time when we didn't have GPS on our phones and we couldn't drive places. Like my parents, who are in their 70s, they're wonderful, wonderful people. They are always constantly surprised that I make it places that I don't know I've never been before. I'm like, it's this thing called GPS. And they're like, gosh, technology, right? So, but that's my son's life. He's been steeped in it. He's been steeped. I mean, he can listen to whatever he wants to. Back when I was a kid, we listened to the stuff that was new. You know, people don't listen to music like that anymore. They listen to anything and whatever, because they have it all at their fingertips. They have any kind of movie they would want. They have the internet. They have YouTube. God save us. They have YouTube. And they have Reddit. Oh, God save us from Reddit, too. The other thing that I think maybe, which is more troubling, is that there's a story in our country that the highest goal of each person should be their individual self-fulfillment and actualization. I mean, we are very, very individualistic as a country. And this is the water that my children are swimming in. So what should church look like for them? Should it be any different than how it is now? I think it might have to make some adjustments, maybe. I don't know. But that's a question that I'm committed to answering. I'm committed to answering that question. And that question actually led me to here. Because in 2017, I was at this Vineyard Leaders Gathering, and I came away from that saying, man, the questions are so important that I believe that God is calling me to maybe seek a job as a senior pastor. I wasn't quite sure if I heard that from God or not. But let me tell you, almost as soon as I had made that decision, prophetic words started rolling in, like all told 11 different people, two people, a bunch of dreams, two people specifically about this place without even knowing what was happening here. I didn't know what was happening here. So I asked Steve for a long conversation. I called him up, and the rest, as we say, is history. And I can't help but believe that we're supposed to, as a church, tackle that, to think about what church might look like for the next generation, whether you have kids or you don't. How do we pass on this beautiful thing called the gospel to another generation? How do we do that? I think that's important. And I think that's something that probably we need to look at. All right. Finally, number five. Thank you for hanging with me. Number five, here's another way that I believe that God has been speaking to me and is speaking to me. Preach the gospel in words, and especially with my life. Preach the gospel with words, and especially with my life. I had like a two-month sabbatical before starting today, which was wonderful. I did a whole lot of reading. We vacationed. It was really, really nice. I visited a bunch of different churches, and I spent some time reading Paul's letter, first letter to the Corinthians. Four verses in particular struck me like thunder and lightning. All right? 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Those four verses may or may not be known to you, but pastors in Chicago have not had a very good year. We've had some stunning falls from grace. Stunning, stunning. And in our culture where we tend to sort of idolize celebrity, we want to assign to people who are successful or rich or famous. We want to assign to them affection, power, influence, maybe beyond what they deserve. It's probably true of pastors too. In fact, that's kind of what we've seen. And so when Paul says that he's come to preach the gospel and that his message is not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, I believe that what he's saying is not just the Spirit's power in terms of signs and wonders, but the Spirit's power also in a changed life. The changed life. I think that when Paul is saying, preach the gospel with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, it's signs and wonders, it's healings, it's words of knowledge, it's prophetic words, but it's also with a person who has been changed by the Spirit's power. Now, I might not be the best preacher you ever heard. In fact, I know I'm not, probably. I know I'm not going to be the wisest person, but I want you to know that one of the things that I'm hearing and that I'm committed to is preaching the gospel, not just with my words, but also with my life. Also with everything that I do, whether I'm in Walgreens or I'm in a used bookstore with apocalyptic dog smell in Logan Square, or whether I'm at Starbucks, which I can't go to now because I'm on a fast, and I haven't broken that, I assure you, even though I feel like it. Whether I'm in any of those spaces, I'm committed to preaching the good news that Jesus has been crucified for our sake, for our sins, also to defeat the cosmic powers of sin and death, and also raised to life so that we could have victory, and we could become part of his family, we could become sons and daughters. I'm committed to preaching that, not just with what I say, but what I do. That's what I feel like I'm hearing. In this particular age, especially so, when we're not sure how actions and words intersect, when we're not sure how soul and body are intersecting, are they together or are they separate? I mean, we are in a massive cultural shift right now, and that's one of those issues. And I'm telling you that I'm going to live an integrated life. I'm going to live a life where my public and my private are the same. How about you? How about you? All right. Okay, so five ways that I believe that I've been hearing from God that may or may not inform the vision of this church, but the vision of this church, I want you to know at the core, is we are going to be a church that continues to listen for the voice of God. We're going to listen for the voice of God. And so what I'd like to say is I'd like to say to close, if I'm going to listen, how about you? How about you? Now, we used to say here at Evanston in the mid-90s, Steve or Bill, they'd be from the stage, they'd say, I don't know if we said it every week. Did we say it every week? Maybe it was every week. It was like, I don't know, we don't remember. It was a long time ago, but I just remember it stuck with me, and that's one of the reasons why I ask you to say things together. Steve or Bill used to ask from the stage, who are the ministers? And we would respond, do you remember this, Matt? Do you remember this? We would all respond, we are. Who are the ministers? And we'd all respond, we are. Well, I'd like to resurrect that for today, at least for today. Who are the ministers?
We are.
That's right. And you cannot be a minister, a person who does the work of Jesus, without listening. You cannot do the work that Jesus calls you into without listening and seeing what the Father is already doing. So I invite you to do that. So I'm going to ask the band to come on up. So band, come on up. And what I want to do to close is spend a little time listening. And so let's stand for a moment, would we? I invite you to just maybe hold your hands out. You don't have to, but sort of all this means is this is the body following what the heart wants to do, which is to say, I'm going to receive what you have for me right now. So come, Holy Spirit. And speak to your people. Give us your direction.